Bibles, open up to 2 Kings chapter 23. We remember last time how Josiah began to purge paganism out of Jerusalem and out of Judah, and the many things that he did. And what we're going to see is it keeps coming. I fall into despair when I look at the state of Christianity today. I look at Christianity in our country, and you almost go into a state of depression when you look at it, that it seems like it's irrelevant and doesn't have much to say to the culture. We're not making any inroads in the culture and so forth. Well, it's nothing like what Josiah faced. There's nothing new under the sun as far as the people of God and how they act, how they do things. I mean, we're looking at the church in the Old Testament, and it's in a terrible position, terrible shape. They even lost their Bible. That's how bad it had gotten. Today we go, oh, these rotten kids that we have, these teenagers, and then you read Plato, and Plato goes, these rotten kids that we have, these terrible teenagers. So it's kind of like there's nothing new under the sun. We have not discovered sin at all. We have not... as we're going to see again tonight, that what one man can do as he is called from God and has great conviction in his heart in this reformation that's taking place in his land. So let's together read verses 9 through 14 of 2 Kings 23, beginning at verse 9. However, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. And he, speaking of Josiah, defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. And he, Josiah, removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord, by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the precincts. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, he pulled down and broke in pieces, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he broke in pieces the pillars, and cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. Now, this whole situation here, Josiah again is centering in on Jerusalem, and primarily centering in on the temple, because what has been going on, of course, the temple being the very center of Israel's religion, the temple where God would appear to his people. Now, we're going to see later, next week, we're going to see that Josiah then bursts out. He leaves Jerusalem, does Judah, even goes up into Samaria, goes up into the old Israelite kingdom of the north to bring about reformation and revival. But it all starts here at the temple of the Lord. Now, last time, let's read verse 8. It gives us the context. It says that Josiah brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. Now, there he's been dealing with all of Judah and tearing down all the high places throughout the whole country, and basically dethroning the priesthood. Now, verse 9, our first verse tonight, comments on that. It says this. It's a little difficult to understand, but listen to what it says. However, the priests of the high places, that is throughout Judah, from Geba, which is in the north, to Beersheba in the south, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. But they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. Now, what's going on here is Josiah is not allowing these priests to come up to the temple in Jerusalem. They are defiled. They have been serving these high places throughout all the land of Judah, these pagan Canaanite high places. And they're probably Levites who have been doing this. And he's not going to allow them to come to the temple in Jerusalem. They're barred from the temple. As Matthew Henry says, they had forfeited that honor. They had forfeited that duty to serve Yahweh. So he left them out throughout all of Judah, did not allow them to come into Jerusalem. What would it have done would have just brought more uncleanness to the temple by bringing in all these other priests who had been serving at the high places. So he is limiting the priests who can come in. Now it gets ghastly. Look at verse 10. And he's back now dealing with Jerusalem. And it says this, "And he defiled Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom." That's the Gehenna Valley, which is in Jerusalem. The valley of garbage, where they would throw their garbage down the hillside there, and this valley of cemeteries and so forth. And he defiled it that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. Now, the first thing it says, he defiled Tophet. Tophet is a word that means, it's a word that's used throughout the ancient Near East to name a child sacrificial cemetery. He defiled the child sacrificial cemetery. This place, this cemetery, was outside Jerusalem in the valley of Hinnom. And there they would sacrifice their children and bury them there. Now it says they did this. They were passing their sons and their daughters in the fire to Molech. Molech is an Ammonite deity. We read about Molech in Leviticus chapters 18 and chapter 20. We read that all the way back to the time of Solomon. Solomon had built a high place for Molech. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 7 says this, "Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifice to their gods." Now you have a question. Were they really sacrificing their children to Molech? Were God's people really doing that? That can't be the church in the Old Testament that's acting that way. Turn back a few chapters to 2 Kings 16, verses 2 through 3, where it talks about Ahaz, the king of Judah. 2 Kings 16, beginning at verse 2. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He even burned his son as an offering according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. The very king of Judah sacrificing one of the princes of Judah to the god Molech. Now, why does one do such thing? What motive would there be to sacrifice a child? Well, we understand from paganism there are a number of motives. One reason is you sacrifice a child so that the god will give you more children. Another reason would be to placate the particular god. And here are the people of God attempting to placate Molech, this god of Ammon, by sacrificing their children. Can you imagine? Here comes this king who defiles Tophet, that they would no longer do that activity. Now remember, they had been serving Molech all the way since the time of Solomon. We're talking Solomon is about approximately 950 B.C. And here Josiah is over 300 years later than Solomon. And yet, they're still acting this way. Moves us to verse 11, which is a difficult one, but we'll deal with it. And Josiah removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of Yahweh by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the precincts. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. It's a strange thing, isn't it? What exactly is this that talks about the kings of Judah had these horses that dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord, and there were these chariots of the sun there. Well, what we think is going on here, or at least what I think is going on here, is that this is Egyptian sun worship. The Amun-Ra, the great god of the sun, and what ties that together with what we're seeing here is that Israel, under Solomon and after, got all their horses from Egypt. Got all their chariots from Egypt. And so we have some type of sun worship going on here. So, it's kind of like, whatever god is around, we'll worship that one. We can worship Chemosh or Molech or Amun-Ra, Baal, Asherah. They're all there. Does that sound familiar to you? Sound like us? Whoever you want to worship, that's okay with me. Well, it's not okay with Josiah, who has conviction, has come under great conviction from the Lord. And so he goes. And what does he do? He burns the chariots of the sun with fire. He removes and destroys these horses. Now, we don't know exactly if they're, I don't know if they're real horses. I don't know if they're stuffed horses, whether they're metal horses. I mean, we don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But he destroys them. And look where they are. They're at the very entrance to the temple of Yahweh. Be much like coming to this church in the morning and there are two Asherah poles sitting out in the parking lot. What would you think of that? Right. We would burn them down, I hope. Indeed. Right here, the very entrance to God's temple. It continues. Look at verse 12. And the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of Yahweh. It pulled down and broke in pieces and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. There's these many idolatrous altars. So, you know, he first dealt with the worship of Amun-Ra with the horses and the chariots outside at the very entrance to the gate of the temple. But what do we see here is there are altars in the very courtyards of the temple complex that were put up by Ahaz. Ahaz put them up on the roof of the temple. Remember, we just talked about Ahaz in 2 Kings 16. He's the one who burned his son in the fire. A rotten little king. And then what do you have here? Not only Ahaz, but Manasseh, who is Josiah's grandfather, put altars to the pagan gods in the very courtyards of the temple. Now, the text is really interesting to read in the original. Let me translate it for you, this verse 12. It says this. And the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, he pulled down and broke in pieces, and he ran from there, and he cast their dust into the Kidron Brook. The text literally says he knocked them down and he picked them up and he ran to the Kidron Valley and threw their dust into that valley. He ran, it says. It's the most amazing thing, isn't it? One thing we've got to be hit by Josiah is his conviction and his fervor to rid the land of its apostasy, to rid the land of its paganism. He sees right there in the very temple of Yahweh altars to the pagan gods. He burns them down, grinds them to dust, takes the dust, and he runs. He runs to the Kidron Valley and throws it over the side. The most amazing figure, isn't he? It's not all, I'm afraid. Verse 13. And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. On the high places which were east of Jerusalem, that is, that are set up on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is directly east of the city of Jerusalem. And Solomon had set up all these altars on top of the Mount of Olives, as I said, over 300 years before the time of Josiah. And they're still in operation. Now, we can read about those. Have your Bibles turn back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. I already read one verse here, but I want to read the entire section. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 8. It says this. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. There's a great debate over that verse. What was he clinging to? He clung to these. Many assume the women, but that is debated. He clung to these gods in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives, who made offerings and sacrificed to their gods. 350 years later, Josiah goes on top of the Mount of the Olives east of Jerusalem to destroy these high places that were set up by Solomon, king of Israel. Still in existence, still in operation. That leads to our final verse, verse 14. And he broke in pieces the pillars, cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. In verse 12, he had cast the ashes of the images into the Kidron, where were the graves of men. He now takes the bones from the graves and puts them where the images had been. He defiles both places. These are unclean places. The Asherim are Asherah's, the Canaanite goddess of war, Canaanite fertility goddess. And so you have Ammonite gods, you have Moabite gods, you have Egyptian gods, you have Canaanite gods. They're all there at the temple of the Lord. Now, you think we live in bad times spiritually? Well, it's all in relation, isn't it? There's nothing new under the sun as we see this. But Josiah, a man whose heart has been broken by the very word of God, standing against these things. It's a most amazing story, isn't it? Okay. All right, let's pray, please. Father, as we continue through this story, as we drive towards the end, may our hearts come under conviction that one man can indeed stand and with your spirit and your power and your strength can bring about reformation, that your Holy Spirit is the one who does that and did it through this man, Josiah. No matter how bleak things are, no matter the degradation, no matter how deep the ungodliness, even to the point of sacrificing children, oh Lord, you can change hearts. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Have prayer time. Praises or requests? There.